Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Text 15. Yad uktam pati drishtena girishena prasidata tad jayanto japantash cha pujayantash cha samyataha yaruktam pati drishtena girishena prasidata tadyayanto japantascha pujayantascha samyataha yaruktam pati drishtena girishena prasidata tadyayanto japantascha pujayantascha samyataha yaruktam pati drishtena girishena prasidata tadyayanto japantascha pujayantascha samyataha Vishtena Vasidada Tatayanto Japantas Cha Yantas Cha Samyata Yadukam Pati Vishtena Girishena Prasidata Ayanto japantas cha Pujayantas cha samyata Yaruktam pati drishtena Girishena prasidata Tadyayanto japantas cha Pujayantas cha samyata Yaruktam pati drishtena Drishtena prasidata Ayanto japantas cha Ayantas cha samyata Yaruktam pati drishtena Drishtena prasidata Antasya Japantascha Antasya Samyata. Vaishnavis. Yaruktam Pati Drishtena Shena Prasidata Jajayanto Japantascha Layanta Sasavyataha Tampati Drishtena Vishena Prasidata Antayanto Japantascha Antayanto Sasavyataha Tam pati drishtena Shena prasidata Ananto japantascha Hirayantas tasamita yet that uktam said pati on the way drishtena while meeting girishena by Lord Shiva prasidata being very much satisfied tat that dhyayanta meditating japanta cha chanting also pujayantaha cha worshipping also samyataha with great control. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. Please repeat. When all the sons of Prachini Barhi left home to execute austerities, they met Lord Shiva, who out of great mercy instructed them about the absolute truth. All the sons of Prachini Barhi meditated upon the instructions, chanting and worshiping them with great care and attention. Purport. It is clear that to perform austerities or penances, or for that matter, any form of devotional service, one has to be guided by a spiritual master. Here it is clearly stated that the 10 sons of Maharaj Prachini Barhi were favored by the appearance of Lord Shiva, who, out of great kindness, gave them instructions regarding the execution of austerities. Lord Shiva actually became the spiritual master of the 10 sons, and in turn, his disciples took his words so seriously that simply by meditating upon his instructions, Dayanta, they became perfect. This is the secret of success. After being initiated and receiving the orders of the spiritual master, the disciple should unhesitatingly think about the instructions or orders of the spiritual master and should not allow himself to be disturbed by anything else. This is also the verdict of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who, while explaining a verse of Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Budhi, Ekaha Kuru Nandana, Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 2, Text 41, points out that the order of the spiritual master is the life substance of the disciple. The disciple should not consider whether he is going back home, back to Godhead. His first business should be to execute the order of his spiritual master. Thus, a disciple should always meditate on the order of the spiritual master, and that is perfectional meditation. Not only should he meditate upon that order, but he should find out the means by which he can perfectly worship and execute it. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is my last day in New Dwarka for a few months. Rukmini Dwarkadish are sending me on a mission to do some preaching against the theory of evolution in Croatia, Bosnia, Macedonia, Bulgaria, and Russia. So the last place I'll be going is Russia. I'll be going to Krasnoyarsk in Siberia in December. So, I like New Dwarka and the nice weather here. So while you're enjoying the sunshine in the first week of December, you can think about me in Siberia. But Srila Prabhupada, he once said that preaching in the snows of Russia is better than being in India during mango season. So we'll see. Actually, I've been to Russia before. I've been to all these countries before, really. I think the last time I was in Moscow, I was preaching against Darwin in the Darwin Museum there, which is very interesting. So, in this verse and purport, we're getting the most essential instructions in Krishna consciousness. And that is that the disciple should take the order of the spiritual master as the substance of his life, Srila Prabhupada says. And he says not only should he meditate upon that order, you know, as the Pachetas did, but he should also find out the means by which he can perfectly worship and execute it. So this is the way that Krishna appears before the disciple in the form of the order, the spiritual master. So the order of the spiritual master is like just the same as the desire of Krishna. And just like we worship Krishna, we worship, you know, the order of Krishna. It's like Srila Prabhupada. Of course, Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee. You know, he was hearing and chanting. But if we sum up his life, you know, in one sentence, maybe say, yes, he followed the order of his spiritual master. Spiritual master ordered him to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the Western world. So he did that. And therefore, we're here. So, of course, we want to be Krishna conscious. You know, we have to perform our sadhana. We have to keep body and soul together somehow. But, you know, we have to have the proper priorities. So yes, we should each want to have a nice life in Krishna consciousness. You know, we should like, you know, to have everything arranged in a nice way, you know, so that we can peacefully carry out, you know, our Krishna consciousness. But beyond that, and even more important than that, is helping Srila Prabhupada execute the order of his spiritual master. Once Srila Prabhupada appeared with tears in his eyes, thanking his disciples, yes, you are helping me fulfill the order of my Guru Maharaj. So we should all be thinking, you know, how we are going to do that. So the order from the spiritual master can come in many ways. I mean, Krishna is within the heart as the Chaitya Guru. Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto. So one may be inspired within the heart, you know, to perform a particular service for Krishna. But then one has to get it confirmed by the other manifestations of the spiritual master. Because yes, Krishna is there within the heart, but then Krishna is also outside as the initiating spiritual master, the Shiksha Guru, there are many Shiksha Gurus instructing spiritual masters, different authorities, and then also there's Shastra as well. For example, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was in Vrindavan, he felt inspired to write about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. But then he confirmed that desire within his own heart, you know, Krishna within his own heart was inspiring him, but he confirmed it by going to his spiritual masters, going to all the senior devotees in Vrindavan and getting their blessings and their confirmation, you know, to carry out, you know, that desire. So, like, you know, we may, you know, think, well, yes, I would like to do some particular service to Krishna. We may feel inspired within our heart to do that. But Tandura Charana Sevi Bhakta Sani Vas. You know, we serve, you know, the spiritual master within the society of devotees. So that means we have to have the blessings and from the society of devotees as well, you know, to carry out whatever we feel inspired within our hearts to do, or whatever we may be, you know, ordered, you know, by an initiating spiritual master or other kind of authority, other kind of shiksha guru. We need to do everything within the context of the society of devotees. Because we're never going to be alone with Krishna. We're always going to be part of, you know, some society of devotees. Even you go to the spiritual world and be a gopi, you'll be a part of a group of gopis. You'll be a leader of that group that you'll have to follow. And sub-leaders. If you become a cow, you'll be a part of a, you know, a group of cows. There'll be a lead cow in your group. You'll be cowherd boy. You'll be part of some group. You know, you won't be just alone doing whatever you want, neither here nor there. We'll always be a part of a society of devotees. So that's one of the things that we have to learn in this world, how to be a part of a society of devotees. How to follow the orders of our different authorities and spiritual masters within the society of devotees. So it's not easy, but that's what we're meant to learn somehow or other. This so in particular, you know, because our whole movement, you know, is based on the order of the previous acharyas, going all the way back to Lord Chaitanya, who said that he wanted his mission spread to every town and village in the world. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also had that ambition. You know, he wanted, you know, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya spread to other countries. He predicted that would happen. Over 150 years ago, Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted, this Krishna consciousness movement will spread around the world, and people from Russia, Germany, England, America will be chanting Hare Krishna in the streets of their towns. He had that vision over 150 years ago. And then he said, those same people, they'll come to India, and they'll chant Hare Krishna. The Americans, Germans, Russians, everybody, they'll come to Mayapur and chant together with their Bengali brothers. So it's a big mission. So you have to keep that in mind, that that's our order. You have to somehow or other be dedicated to spreading, you know, Krishna consciousness to others throughout the world. In our own village, among our friends. You know, everybody has a different capacity and different, you know, position. I mean, there's so many things that we are trying to do to fulfill, you know, the order of the previous acharyas, of Lord Chaitanya, to spread, you know, Krishna consciousness throughout the world. We're printing and distributing books. We're distributing prasada. We're distributing the holy name by chanting. We're having festivals. We're doing so many things. So whatever position that we find ourselves in and whatever stage we find ourselves in, we should be keeping that larger mission in mind. I mean, we may be doing some particular service, but we have to understand how it fits in with the whole mission. You know, just like, you know, there may be like a warship at sea. And, you know, in the warship, you know, somebody's operating the radio, somebody's cooking for the crew, you know, somebody's manning the weapon systems, you know, somebody's navigating, you know, somebody's doing this. Of course, these days on the warships, they have men and women, at least in the American Navy, they do. So somebody may be doing, you know, the doctor, being the doctor, taking care, but they're on a warship and they have a mission. So they can't just be thinking about what their particular duty is. They have to think about that. They have to carry out their particular duty, but they also have to be aware of what the mission of the whole ship is and be thinking, not that I'm just doing this or that, you know, particular thing to get my paycheck, but that they're on a mission. Have to be meditating on that, understanding that, how all of us are being instrumental to the will of Lord Chaitanya and the previous acharyas, that this Krishna consciousness movement be spread to every town and village in the world. And then if we forget that, yeah, then we can become absorbed in just so many petty affairs and considerations. Yeah, just like on the ship. Yeah, they can become involved in so many petty disputes and confrontations and frustrations and things like that. So that so much so that, that the whole mission of the ship can be forgotten. They decide, no, let's take the ship and go on a pleasure cruise to the Bahamas or something. And just forget what the whole mission is. And that happens. Srila Prabhupada said it happened with the Gaudiya Mutt. He said, because they forgot the mission of their spiritual master, they became involved in so many petty disputes and personal considerations that, as far as Srila Prabhupada was concerned anyways, their mission was lost. So we have to remember, you know, what our mission is. And Srila Prabhupada says here, says that even the disciple, you know, they shouldn't even be thinking about whether or not they're going back to Godhead. The disciple should not consider whether he is going back home, back to Godhead. His first business should be to execute the order of the spiritual master. Then automatically, you know, one will go back home, back to Godhead. It's a very, very important, you know, consideration. Yasya prasada, Bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada, nagati gatopi. By pleasing the spiritual master, then Krishna becomes pleased. And if one doesn't please the spiritual master, then one's destination is unknown. Of course, everything has to go on. Like if somebody becomes so absorbed in thinking big thoughts about the mission that they don't do their practical duty, say on the ship. You know, like if everybody tries to be the captain of the ship and then nobody does their particular duties, you know, the doctor doesn't take care of the sailors and the cooks don't cook for the sailors and the navigators don't navigate and, you know, the people who are responsible for the weapons don't keep the weapons in shape, then you know, again, it doesn't work. So we have to be responsible for our life in Krishna consciousness. We have to chant our rounds. We have to somehow or other keep body and soul together. You know, we have to do our particular duties, whatever they happen to be, but we also have to have simultaneously this larger vision And so we should worship this. Srila Prabhupada said here, not only should he meditate upon that order, but he should find out the means by which he can perfectly worship and execute it. So our main order, coming from Lord Chaitanya, is that his glory should be spread to every town and village in the world. So we should be worshiping that order. We should be seeing somehow or other Krishna has sent us into this world. spirit souls. I mean, nothing is happening by chance. Krishna says, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, Kridesh Arjuna Tishtiti, Brahmayan Sarva Bhutanam, Yantra Rudani Mayaya. So we're sitting like spirit souls, like passengers or drivers in the machine of the body. But Krishna is moving these bodies. So he's brought us all together somehow or other into this Krishna consciousness movement, into this temple. So you have to think, well, what is the purpose for which Krishna has brought us together here? What is that purpose? Why are we here? So you have to keep in mind, these desires of Lord Chaitanya, the previous acharyas. And by worshiping those desires and orders and thinking, meditating, how we're going to carry them out, then everything will come about. We'll come to understand what our eternal relationship with Krishna is. And then either we will find ourselves with Krishna or Lord Chaitanya somewhere, either in Goloka Vrindavan or here or some other place, but it doesn't make any difference to the pure devotees where they're with Krishna. Just as long as they're with Krishna, with Lord Chaitanya, they don't mind. Some may be here. It may be in Goloka Vrindavan. It may be somewhere, some other universe. But the qualification for being with Krishna is satisfying Krishna's desires, whatever they happen to be. And so those desires are revealed to us in our stage of consciousness by, as I said, either Krishna within the heart or Krishna outside the heart in the form of the different kinds of spiritual masters. So does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay, one of the ladies first this time.
Thank you. I'm quite loud. The first one is, a lot of people are actually aware that we are going to leave our bodies someday. Not many people who have symptom of intelligence think they are going to live forever. But is it possible to balance this? Not everybody can live in the temple completely isolating themselves from the contamination of the world outside. So those of us who have to live through the world but still want to practice Krishna consciousness, is it possible to balance it and still maybe someday take a trip to the Bahamas after a very hard-working year but still live within the norms and rules of Krishna consciousness and at the same time enjoy the life, because life and world is still beautiful, and if you are still happy about it, should you feel guilty about that if you're still practicing Krishna consciousness rules? And also another part of it is, we are not supposed to get too much attachment to anyone, but still, if we are aware that we are going to lose our parents, our siblings someday, shouldn't we love them even more with the appreciation that we're going to lose them someday and they are our loved ones, and wouldn't God be more proud of us if we are showing respect and love more to our loved ones because of the awareness that we're going to lose them someday? And the second question is, why is Krishna blue? Is it to symbolize that he is different from all of us, or just he actually literally appeared blue?
So the second question is, that's just the way he is. It's not, he didn't do it symbolically. He's the most beautiful, all attractive, so must be that blue is the most attractive color. So then, but the other question is, of course, I never when I was speaking, and neither in the purport here did Srila Prabhupada mention living in the temple, you know, as a qualification. Yes, so it doesn't matter whether one is in the temple, outside the temple. I mean, even Srila Prabhupada once said, you know, he was writing to one of his disciples, and he said, the disciple had written to him about a god brother who had kind of gone off a little bit and was being a little bit independent. Srila Prabhupada said, well, you know, sometimes some of the god brothers, they may disagree. But he said, as long as he's following my orders and instructions, he's still to be considered, you know, my disciple. So, no, it's not necessary to be living in the temple. And Srila Prabhupada once said, as the Krishna consciousness movement expands, devotees will become involved in more and more areas of life. So it just becomes another opportunity to do what I said, you know, to think according to our particular situation, which may be in the temple or outside the temple, you know, we should be thinking. Yes, so somebody may be an employee somewhere. So then you have to think, well, how may it be possible for, you know, me to introduce my friends, my colleagues, you know, to Krishna consciousness, to use whatever situation Krishna has put me in, inside the temple, outside the temple, married, not married, thinking of getting married, you know, like... It's possible to serve Krishna in every situation of life. And as far as relatives, you have to see everyone is related to Krishna. You know, and try, whether we're dealing with relatives or people we don't know, we should be seeing them as spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna, and doing whatever is going to be most helpful in a particular time, place, and circumstance. For example, like if a devotee is going home, the thing that might make the parent or the relatives most favorable to Krishna consciousness may be not to be preaching to them about it, you know, at a particular point in time. You know, just behaving like a normal son or daughter. And they think, oh, well, that's nice. You know, my son or daughter is a member of the Krishna consciousness movement. Of course, in other circumstances, you know, maybe the best thing to do is to, quote, preach to them. Svavas was going to say something.
I just wanted to say thank you for an excellent class. And hearing your class, it was a practical example that I experienced on that point that you're making, the overall point. That was that I was dealing with the immigration people. And to get a sponsorship for a devotee for immigration status, they have different statuses. So the one that we want is called the R1. And what it made me realize is that they want to know what the mission is. You know, what is your mission? What is the Hare Krishna movement's mission? And they, on that principle, you know, they'll give you a status, an immigration status. And they want you to maintain that status in order, you know, in other words, in order to get the qualification to come, they want you to be on that particular status and not deviate from it. And I thought that was pretty good. And your classes more or less, in my mind, just solidified the fact that that's really what the Krishna Conscious Movement is. We have a mission. We should stay on that mission, and then we're qualified. And we're disqualified if we don't stay to the mission. So I just wanted to thank you for reminding me again about the mission of Srila Prabhupada and how even in the material world they force upon us this understanding. So thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Ray, and then we'll come to you.
Thank you for taking my question. I was wondering, we talk about the mission, and it's very big. It's not very well defined in my mind. But how do you measure how effective you're being in reaching that goal? How would I measure how effective I'm being in reaching that mission and accomplishing that mission?
Well, if we look at the basic mission, as being what Lord Chaitanya said, spreading Krishna consciousness to every town and village in the world, then we have to analyze. Yeah, this is in a general way. So we can see that before Srila Prabhupada, Krishna consciousness was not very much spread outside of India, basically. But he had his order from his spiritual master. And then we see, by the time he left this world, there were 108 centers of the Krishna consciousness movement and maybe about 5,000 initiated disciples all over the world. And millions of books had been printed. So then, since Srila Prabhupada's departure, the number of temples has... Because sometimes people think, the Krishna consciousness movement is going down. If you look in Back to Godhead magazine, compare it, 1977 and 2007, now there are about 400 temples spread all over the world. There are tens of thousands of initiated disciples, hundreds of thousands, perhaps even millions of people associated with the Krishna consciousness movement. The number of books continues to increase. So we can see, if we want to measure in a general way, are we being successful? Yes, in a general way. Of course, it's like a battle. It's like in any, like if you're playing football or soccer, one team's going to score a goal, another team's going to score a goal, and there's opposition. When there's any kind of... So Srila Prabhupada once said, we're in a war with Maya. So we're making progress, but it's not easy because Maya attacks sometimes. Sometimes there are casualties, sometimes there are problems, but things are going on. The mission is still going on. It's still increasing. Now, on an individual level, we have to look at the measure of our service, and we have to analyze it in different ways. How am I becoming Krishna conscious? That's one thing, because to carry out the mission, you have to be fit to carry out the mission. So we can look at ourselves, how we are becoming fit to carry out the mission. This means we have to be educated in the philosophy so we can analyze, am I becoming fit to carry out the mission of Lord Chaitanya in terms of becoming Krishna conscious ourselves, becoming knowledgeable about the philosophy? Are we taking advantage of all the opportunities that are provided, say, in this community for serving this mission, preaching? There's this, in a couple of days, this World Holy Name Day? Well, there's an opportunity right there, to participate in the primary mission. So, we just have to see, are we taking advantage of all the opportunities that we're being presented with to be, part of this mission? And then we have to analyze, too, how, if we're talking about book distribution, are more and more books going out? If we're talking about, festivals, are they being presented in the nicest possible way? Is the Sunday feast being organized in the nicest possible way to attract people? Are people joining, becoming... Of course, we could say join, but we could say, are people becoming associated with our movement? Because they don't, as I said to you, you don't have to move into the temple to join the Krishna consciousness movement, although that's very nice. And we do need devotees who are willing to surrender their whole lives to Krishna like that. But you can surrender your whole life to Krishna in other ways as well. So it's a big topic, and I just touched on some things. Do you have a question? Or a comment.
I was just going to tell a little Prabhupada story that fit in.
Sure.
If you like. It's kind of hard for me, but when one time we were three girls from New Vrindavan, and this was in the 70s, we went...
I think you have to hold it closer to your mouth.
We went to Honolulu to help the devotees there distribute books in the airport, and Srila Prabhupada came. And we were just getting ready to leave to go to the airport because... That was back in the days where, even if Prabhupada was there, you just had to go out, you know, you had to be there on time. So we were just leaving at the end of Guru Puja, and Prabhupada was getting ready to give class. And Guru Kripa said to Srila Prabhupada, he said, "Prabhupada, these girls are from New Vrindavan. They're going out to the airport to distribute your books." And Srila Prabhupada just looked at us. And we kind of didn't know what to do. And he just looked at us for like a minute. It seemed like a minute. And then he just went like this and bowed his head to us. And, of course, we were just in shock, you know, and we paid our obeisances. And then we left to go to the airport. And I guess I just brought that up to show, like, how important it was to Prabhupada when you helped, because you were talking about that, about how important it was for him, if you could help him serve his spiritual master, and how important his book distribution was. And I remember then the three of us, and especially with some of the other devotees at the airport.
And you three were? Your names?
It was me.
And your name is, again?
Vedamata.
Vedamati, okay.
Lajavati and Kamini.
Okay,
and,
nice.
And I can't remember who all was there from Hawaii who met us at the airport, but we started talking about it, and it was like you could see like what a reverential activity it was to Srila Prabhupada. And many years then later down the road, when everybody wanted to say, "Oh, well, do the change up and do this to do the books and do that to do the books," we were really strong in that and just say, "No, we're not doing it," because Prabhupada, you could see like how much he appreciated the book distribution. So I just thought I'd tell the devotees
that story. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.